Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you got your Bible, if you would turn to Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. Amen. I'm going to begin reading in the first verse what God has dealt with me about over the last couple of days. And I sure enjoy and kind of studying my notes during Sunday school, adult Sunday school, but I'm listening at the same time. When you get old, you learn how to do multiple things at the same time. Amen. I've been enjoying the teaching of the gifts of the Spirit. What a powerful teaching. Always would go back to what the Word of God would say, that in His house everything should be decent and in order. A lot of decent things could get out of order. And so I want everything that I do, everything that happens in this church, to be in order. Amen. When things get in order sequentially and every other way, it's God can work through that. Amen. And so I felt it in my spirit when this, I think it was supposed to be done today, but the teacher's a little long-winded, I believe. I'm not sure, but no, he's doing good. But after this, I felt led in the Holy Ghost for the last few weeks. I'm going to have Brother Aaron Robertson teach for a few weeks on the life and the ministry of the Apostle Paul. I want him to show us, teach us about his conversion, about all of his missionary journeys, where he stopped, what happened when he was there. I want to tell you, the more you study the Word of God, the more alive it becomes. It makes you not skip over things that you don't understand and you miss so much. But even like, I'll never forget when I went to a trip to Israel years ago, just being there and seeing the places and the names of the towns and the names of all the people and all the stuff, it brought the Bible alive to me. And I thought the more, if you understood who Paul was and where he went, and you could look at a map, and maybe the next time you read through the book of Acts, you wouldn't just skip over stuff, but it all began to... I want everybody to be a theologian. I guess you understand. I want everybody in here. I want you to know the Bible from the front to the back. Some people, I believe some pastors are intimidated by saints that know the Word of God. I feel like I could get a vacation if everybody understood the Word of God. Hallelujah. I feel like I could go on an Alaskan cruise and not worry about anything if everybody understood the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. That was all the comedy for the day right there. Now we're about to preach. You missed your chance to laugh. No. Ezekiel 16 and 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Amen. We need to know stuff. Maybe I've already been preaching about that. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee. Nobody pitied thee. Nobody had compassion on thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Amen. If that's where it ended, it'd be a pretty sad story. But the sixth verse said, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, everybody say, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Praise God. Praise God. I want to preach a little while from this title, What God Told Him to Do. Live. Amen. Set your Bibles down. Lift your hands to the Lord together. Come on, all across this house. Come on, let's cry out to Jesus for just a few moments. Hallelujah. We love you. We praise you, God. God, I want you to speak to this church. I want you to help every individual in this room today, God. I want you to mold and shape people. I want you to bless people. I want you to bless families, bless marriages, bless finances. God, bless everything that they touch. Come on, why don't you join with someone next to you if it's appropriate for just a moment. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I wish somebody would forget about everything around you right now and focus on Jesus. Have the authority of the name of Jesus. Ooh, we're going to speak life over this congregation. We're going to speak life over our children. Hallelujah. Speak life over our neighborhoods and our cities. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, somebody praise him now. Come on, somebody praise him. Come on, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, we're going over. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Somebody shout, the devil's a liar. Man, you can be seated. I want to preach. Everybody say, live. This reading today began with the word of the Lord. Ezekiel said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Amen. He laid it upon the man of God to make sure he was telling the people what God liked. That's one thing, but another thing, you got to be able to preach what God don't like. Hallelujah. I don't want to ever just, amen, give you all the cake and tell you how beautiful heaven's going to be without telling you what it's going to take to get there. Hallelujah. He said, I want you to tell them their abominations. And I began to think about how important the word of God is. Amen. If you don't know, you're just going to be in trouble. There's no excuse when we get to the judgment. This is an open book test. You got the book. You can't say, I didn't know. It's on your phone. It's on your table. It's in your car. It's sitting beside you. It's under the pew. You ain't got one? Let me know. I'll get you one. Amen. We got to know the word of God. If you think in a 20-minute Bible study every Sunday morning and a couple of sermons every Sunday and Wednesday, you're going to get everything in the word of God, life's too short for that. Amen. You got to be a student of the word of God. Amen. You got to learn how to open up your Bible and begin to read it. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. It's important to know the word of God. And so I think when you begin to study, it's also important that you know what abominations are in this word of God. What is an abomination? I began to look in the dictionary. It said it was something extremely hated. Not just hated, something extremely hated. Something detestable or something loathsome. Amen. If God hates something and you love God, it shouldn't be that big a deal to change your life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 6 and 16 said, these things, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Amen. God hates pride. Maybe because he knows who we really are. Amen. Have you ever seen somebody poor trying to look like they're rich? Ain't nothing wears me out more. Amen. Rented rims. Credit card Louis Vuitton purses. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help me preach a little while. And the reason it gets under your skin is because you know what they really are. Amen. When somebody has a hypocritical spirit and try to appear like they got it all together and they're all proud, and God looks at them the same way you look at a poor person trying to act like they're rich. He knows who they are. Amen. This may be a little methodical today. Amen. My son said it comes with age. He said, you're getting slower, Dad. Amen. But he said it's just as good. It's just more methodical. Praise God. Amen. They started a whole denomination off of somebody's methods back in the day. So who knows? Maybe methods are good. God hates pride. A lying tongue. Boy, I tell you something, that lying is something else. You know, lying is a habit. I've seen people that couldn't tell the truth if they wanted to. They knew the truth, but it was just so much better to just tell a lie to them. It's just, they just, praise God. Let me look this way for a little while. Hey, man, lying is a habit. Some people think lying is innocent. Some people lie just to make themselves look good. Some people lie to keep from going to jail. This is what I told a guy one day that done a lot of dumb stuff, and he said, well, I can't lie. I said, well, you can shut up. You can just shut your mouth, and if they get you, they get you. If not, go back to the altar and repent of your sins. God hates a lying tongue. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. And don't be a killer. Amen. Be a lifesaver. Praise God. I should have brought some lifesavers. God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Amen. I'm telling you, the heart is so corrupt. If you allow it to, it'll make you think everybody hates you and everybody's done you wrong. I'm going to tell you, you got to take control of that vain imagination. Amen. You got to learn how to line everything up with the Word of God. Bring every thought into captivity. God hates feet that are swift running to mischief. Hallelujah. Can you imagine running away from the house of God? Running to mischief. God hates that. Not only does God hate lying, he hates a false witness that speaketh lies. It's one thing to tell lies because you're silly. It's another thing to have a corrupt heart where you would lie to hurt somebody else. This is an abomination unto God. And then God hates the one that sows discord among the brethren. Praise God. He said, Ezekiel, I want you to let Jerusalem know what the abominations are. Is this okay for a little while? We're just kind of like a little Bible study here for a little while. And then we'll see where it goes. Amen. Our young people need to know this. Amen. Leviticus 18 and 22 says homosexuality is an abomination. Amen. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's something that God hates and it has to be repented of. We don't hate people. We love people. But we're going to tell people what they have to do. Deuteronomy 13 and 14 would say that to serve other gods or even to try to get people to serve other gods is an abomination unto God. God hates that. Deuteronomy 18 would say, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of the times. You better be careful the way you let the world push you into a bunch of garbage. I'll just say that. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. That's somebody that through magic tries to talk to the dead. Amen. All this stuff needs to be put into people to understand you don't play with spirits that ain't of God. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. Even simple things that you may think are innocent, you need to shy away from them. Amen. Parents, if there's video games that's got devils and witches and... don't even let it get started. When you get familiar with something, it ain't very long till it'll get familiar with you. Hallelujah. Be careful what books you read. I don't want to read about devils and spirits and magic and all the stupid stuff of this world. I want to read about the Holy Spirit. I want to read about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. To play with stuff like that, the Bible said all that do that are an abomination unto the Lord. Amen. Remember what I'm preaching about, Ezekiel? Let Jerusalem know what the abominations are. Deuteronomy 22 and 5 would say, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Amen. There's a guy downtown who rides a bicycle and he wears both. Never thought we'd live to see the day where we had to preach men. Amen. Don't be wearing a woman's garments. But we're here. Amen. The Bible said, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. This ain't hate speech. This is love speech. I want you to know what God hates and what he loves. And I want you to know what he approves of and what he disapproves of. Proverbs 15 and 9 would say, the way, everybody say the way. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. The way they take care of their business and the things that they do, the way they treat each other, the way they are immoral is an abomination unto God. If you want to know how to live your life and please God, do just the opposite of how the people out there do. This ain't rocket science. This is easy. Amen. But he didn't just say the way when you go on down to Proverbs 15 and 26. He said, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Even the way they sit there and think. Amen. What are they thinking? They're thinking what they've been programmed to think. So if we allow the programming in our home and our life that they're getting programmed by, we'll be thinking what they think, and we'll be abominable just like they're abominable. I think it's time to change the programming. I don't think Hollywood ought to be programming the Church of the Living God. I don't think Disney ought to be programming the Church of the Living God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Proverbs 17 and 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just. Talking about the one that takes up for the wicked or says, well, he does that because he's whatever. That's just how he is, or that's justifying wicked. Well, she was just a tomboy. That's justification for wicked, and that's an abomination unto God. Hey, might get quiet a little. I'm just trying to help somebody. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's wicked, if it's somebody you don't know their name, or they live in your house. You can't change the way you think about stuff. You don't justify sin. We love the sinners. We pray for them. But I ain't gonna justify. I understand why you're doing that. No, I don't understand why you're doing that. We're about to see the rapture of the church. It's time to quit justifying wicked and start preaching against it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To say it's an alternate lifestyle is justification of the wicked. To say he's a thief because his daddy was is a justification of the wicked. Every man gets to pick his own footsteps, how he's going to live his own life. You may have grown up in a certain kind of culture, but that's not going to be an excuse when you hear the trumpet blow. Your daddy may have taught you to be wicked. Your mama may have taught you to be immoral. Your brothers may have taught you how to roll things you shouldn't have been rolling. Amen, but at the end of the day, nobody has an excuse to sin. Amen, God's coming back. Hallelujah. It's an abomination to take up for the wicked. But it's also an abomination to condemn the just. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When somebody's doing right and you're convicted about what they're doing, don't you put your finger on them. Don't you talk about somebody that's doing their best. Hey man, everybody's on different pages in their life and chapters of the book of their life. And amen. I figured out a long time ago, if I can just get this one right here right. Hallelujah. And encourage everybody else I know. Hallelujah. Everybody point at yourself. Man, just think if we can get that one right. We can just get this one to start thinking right thoughts. We can just get this one to quit gossiping and trying to tear down people. We can get this one to keep from going to the wrong places on the internet. Saying things we shouldn't say. You talking about revival. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm preaching what God told Ezekiel to do. Proverbs 20 and 10, he said, diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Let me tell you what this means. We have to be the most honest people. We can be, I'm just going to tell you, we can be the most expensive people. If you got a shoe shining business, and if you want to charge $1,000 to shine shoes, God don't care. If somebody will pay you and you agree to it, take their money, praise God. But if they drop off a bundle of shoes and they dropped off 10 pairs, and when you hand it back to them, you said it was 12 pairs,
you just committed an abomination.
Hey, if you'll just be honest, God will open up the windows of heaven on you. Well, hallelujah. Here's the deal with life. If you get the favor of God on your life, great things will happen to you. But if you upset God, you'll always be scratching trying to get above the water. But what would happen in the Bible days is there was always a way to adjust scales. And all scales have a way of calibrating. And we don't, we're used to, back in the old days you didn't do that. They were calibrating. They all, and you had a one true measure and you would set that on there and you would calibrate it to where it met the true. Well, at the market sometimes there would be people that weren't honest. Can you imagine? There would be people that weren't honest. And so they would put a pound of wool on the scales. And before the people came in, they would take that set screw and they would turn it to where it showed it was 2 pounds. And they would sell it like it was 2 pounds instead of 1 pound. The problem with that is the person you sell it to may never know. But the one that matters, his scales never mess up. He knows what people are doing. I'm just preaching a little while. I hope you're going to let me just. Amen. I want everybody in this room to have the favor of God. And I'm sure I'm preaching to somebody on the internet, not anybody in here. Y'all better listen up. Do right. Proverbs 21 and 27. The Bible said the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. The sacrifice of the wicked. That means the one that wants to act like he's in church. Praise God. Let me turn around and say all this. And he's going through the motions. And he's got the long sleeves on. And he's paying his tithes. And he's paying his offerings. But down deep inside, he's wicked as the day is long. God said even his offering is an abomination. I want to tell you something. If you don't get your heart right, living for God is hard with your heart wrong. Now, if you get your heart right, this is the easiest life. Amen. It's the best life. Maybe to add to this, he would say in Isaiah 1 and 13, bring no more vain oblations. He said, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. What is he saying was an abomination? It was people who, again, were going through the motions. I'm not saying you got to have it all together. I hope you understand what I'm preaching about. Don't let the devil confuse you. I'm not talking about you have to be perfect to clap your hands or perfect to run the aisles or lift your hands or do whatever. I'm talking about a heart that don't want to do it. Boy, I felt something kick back right there. I'm talking about an outward expression that's saying everything's okay. I think y'all have seen it before. But inside, you hate everybody. God said, your incense stinks. It's an abomination to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me turn the page. That's enough of that. Praise God. We need to know what God expects. Amen. Praise God. And so some people look at the Word of God and they say, well, that's just a bunch of rules to me. Amen. Praise God. But the Word of God is not intended to kill you. The word of God is intended to bring life to you. Amen. You cannot live the good life without knowing what thus saith the word of God. You can't experience the Holy Ghost and fire without knowing what thus saith the word of God. I hope this is all right. Hallelujah. It's intended, the word of God is intended to bring life. It's intended to preserve your life. Don't get mad at the guardrails. They're there for a reason. They're just trying to hold me in. They ain't trying to hold you in. They're trying to keep you from dying. They're trying to keep you from being lost. You need to fall in love with every guardrail. Thank you, Lord, for going before me and making. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Don't ever get the attitude that the word of God is trying to hold you back. The word of God is trying to hold you in. The word of God is trying to keep you from self-destructing. Don't ever oppose the word of God. If you don't understand it, just do it anyway and get your Bible and study it out for yourself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. How many more families would be together today if the word of God would have been the principal thing in the household? If daddy would have been in love with the word of God? If mama would have been in love with the word of God? Why do some churches, the kids get 18 and then they never see them again? Because they never got the word in them. I want to put the word in our young people. When they're 19, they're still here. And they're 20, they're still here. And they're 120, they're still here. Hey, I want it down deep. I want you to hide his words in your heart that you might not sin against God. It's hard to sin when you got the word of God in you. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Memorize the scriptures. Fall in love with scriptures. Quote the scriptures. Listen to it while you're driving down the road. Hallelujah. Listen to it while you're at home. Listen to you while you're at work, if you're allowed to. I mean, praise God. You're operating 100,000-pound equipment next to somebody else. Maybe don't listen to it right then. Open your ear. Praise God. Get the word of God in you. Hallelujah. When you get the word of God in you, this will not be rules. You'll understand God is love. God don't want to kill me. God wants to save me. God don't want to stomp on me. God wants to pick me up. Hallelujah. Boy, we're about to make a liar out of the devil. Man, I just wish there was a happy medium. It seemed like, wow, well, praise God. A lot of churches, they don't get to hear it, and they're too soft and won't tell people the truth. And some people use it to try to kill people. God help us. Amen. To understand what the word of God is. What it wants to do for us. It wants to bring life. Hallelujah. I'm living the good life. I've read this Bible so many times and that it's in my spirit. And when I would do something that would oppose the word of God, something checks me. Why does it check me? Because I know better than that. If you ain't got the word, how do you know better? If you always sat there and said, well, I don't believe he's just a man anyway. You need to get over all that. All that he's just a man business will get you in trouble with God. God chose by the foolishness of preaching. This ain't my plan. I'd go fishing if it was my plan. This is God's plan. He chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You gotta believe the word of God. Hallelujah. Everybody say, God is love. God is love. Praise God. The love story didn't just begin on the cross, though. Hallelujah. There was a love story right there. But that ain't where it began. It began in the beginning. When man first messed up, God started working on a plan. In Genesis 3 and 15, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God was saying in the very beginning, when man messed up, he didn't try to kill him. He looked at the devil and said, your head's about to get wore out. You done messed up. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to break your neck. Amen. God was looking out for mankind from the very beginning of time. Amen. From the first time man fell, God said, I'm going to make a way where they can get back up. Hey, there ought to be somebody that say, hey, if I fall, the same God that picked them up wants to pick me up. He's the same yesterday, today. Come on, say forever. Quit letting the devil beat you up. God loves you and wants to give life unto you. So now, in the book of Ezekiel, what I read at the beginning is explaining the condition of the people of God when God found them. He said, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. Amen. We know Abraham wasn't an Amorite. We know Abraham wasn't a Hittite. But what God was saying to the people of God, when I found you, you weren't any better than anybody else. Come on, don't get all self-righteous. He said, when I found you, you was like everybody else in the world. You were like every other nation, every other tribe. When I got a hold of you, he said, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. So why did God choose us? The Bible said, because the Lord loved you. Now, I don't want to humble everybody in this room, but I want to tell you, he didn't pick us because we were so awesome. I've met people who thought God had picked them because they were so great. Amen. Don't believe that illusion. God called you because he loved you. Hallelujah. Everybody say, he loved me. He called you because he loved you. He pulled you out of this world because he loved you. Well, I thought he needed one more tenor. No. God could make me a tenor if he wanted to. That ought to scare all of y'all. Praise God. Amen. If he used a donkey, he could use a pastor too. He didn't choose you because you were the best alto in Hot Springs. He chose you because he loved you. He called your name because he loved you. Not because your IQ was so high, you had the gift of gab or whatever you think you had. He looked down and he said, I love them. I'm going to pull on them. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, no one should question, does God love me? You wouldn't be here if God didn't love you. Except God draws people. Did you get that? Except God draws people, you can't even come to God. Quit hanging out in the miry clay. Shake the things off of you. Well, I'm just not sure if I fit in. I'm not sure if I fit in. But I do know that God sets the members, is what my Bible said. And if God picked me up from where I was and pulled me down here and sat me down, I just got to believe God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. So I got to hurry up and preach what I come to preach about. And he said, and as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field. Y'all like that open field? That's pretty cool, ain't it? Y'all, he said you were cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Amen. This is what he compares Israel to. The day he found them, he compares them to an abandoned baby. A newborn requires a lot of attention. If any of y'all have ever been in a room when there was a baby that was born, it's like the second it happens, it's like back up. And there's a whole crew of people that seem to rush to the scene of a newborn baby because there's so many things that can go wrong. One of them is making sure the airways are clean, and one of them is making sure the heart's beating, and one of them is making sure the lungs are working, and all the organs are working, and all this stuff, and they're scrambling around, testing this and testing that. And, amen. Why are they doing that? Because it's such a critical moment. Amen. And God compares Israel, when he found them, to a newborn that at the most critical time was thrown out into a field. Can you imagine that? My mind can't even go there, but there's people in our world that do that. And he said there was nobody there to, in the old Eastern culture, they would take salt and they would rub it on a newborn. Probably eventually we'll figure out that was smart to do. Everything they did in the Bible was smart. We just ain't figured it out yet. He said there was nobody there to clean you up. And there was nobody there to wrap you up and keep you warm. And there was nobody there that would swaddle you and hold you. And you were just a reject, is what he was saying. When I found you, you were like a brand new baby that had just been thrown away. And how that happens, I'm not sure. Amen. But he said, just like a baby that would come out of the womb with no care would be thrown into the field, laying in its own blood. He said, that's what you were when I found you. My Lord, it's kind of quiet in the house right now. Nobody to help you. You were rejected. But then he goes on to say, but thy navel was not cut. Talking about the umbilical cord was still attached. Even though you had been rejected, I'm telling you, our world is the most cruel people. He said, even though you were rejected and had been left alone, you were still connected to them by that sinful nature. You were, even though you had been thrown away, you were still just like them. The only life that you had was a bad life. And I could say the only advice you were getting was bad advice. And you were in a terrible position when I found you. Amen. But the Bible said, but then I passed by. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the Lord still walks by the rejected ones. I'm thankful that God don't pass by and just leave people the way that he finds them. But the Bible said, when I pass by, you know what I feel in the Holy Ghost? Amen. I feel God's going to pass by this church today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It breaks my heart to watch people destroy their lives and do dumb stuff and all. I watch as the world uses people and then throws them away and rejects them and don't want them anymore. I'm telling you, if you think there's anything in the world, there's nothing in the world. Amen. They want your innocence. They want your money. They want your drugs. Anything that you can give to them. And when they've taken everything that you got, they're going to leave you in the field to die in your own blood. But I want to tell you about a God. I want to tell you about a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, when I saw you and you were polluted in your own blood, I said something. When he walked up on, can I just use the allegory? When he walked up on the baby that was about to die, he began to speak what? The word of God. He said, baby, live. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. He walked up on the one that was just a few moments away from eternity, and he spoke the word. He said, live. Amen. When I was praying yesterday, the Lord began to deal with me. Amen. There's voices in people's heads saying you need to die. You need to give up. You need to turn around. But the word of God says no. It don't matter how close you are to death. It don't matter how deep in sin you are. It don't matter how rejected you are. God wants to stand over you and say, come on, shout it. Live. Do you believe? Do you believe God can speak a word? And it turned the darkest situations around. Speak. I feel God in this house. I've seen it on people's faces this morning when they walked in. It was like, I don't know what to do now. when the promises looked so good, when everything was looking like it was going to work out. Now it looks like I'm a few steps away from death. I feel like a complete failure. Hey, man, let me tell you what God will do when he stands over you today, if you'll allow him to. Come on, you got to allow him to. If you will allow him to, he wants to stand over every situation and he wants to say, live. Come on, there's no death in the word of God. Amen. His words are, live. His words are, I have come that they might have. I have come that they might have. If he came so you could have life, start living. Quit living under death. Quit. Somebody ought to praise God right now. Come on. Come on, you may feel like an abandoned baby, but God's wanting to put life into you. You may feel like because of illness, you've been left, but God's saying, live. I feel people going through the trials of life, and they feel like they're going under. Hey, man, I'm telling you, that's in your head. And if you keep believing you're going under, you will go under. But if you allow the word of God to speak to you this morning, it'll say, no, you're going to live and not die. You shall live and not die and declare the glory of God. You got to allow the word to break you. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Sharamaha. Shata. Shata. Come on. Come on, prayer warriors, help me. God's looking for an abandoned baby this morning. Come on. Come on, God's looking. This may be one person. Come on, prayer warriors, help me. I'm going to stop. Come on, the word of God is speaking to somebody. Come on, it's time to start living. It's time. It's time. Come out of the field. Don't lay there in your blood anymore. Don't lay there in your depression anymore. God's saying, come out of that. It's time to live. It's time. Come on, it's time. It's time to quit being the victim. It's time to come out of solitary confinement. It's time to live. Come on, in Jesus' name. Kobasarama. Koramasa. Korama. Come on. Come on. If anybody understands rejection, God understands rejection. If anybody understands ridicule, God understands ridicule. If anybody understands abandonment, God understands it. I believe that's why the allegory says that God passed by that baby, the abandoned one. Come on. Come on, the instinct of the one that is loved is just to keep living. That's normal. And he walked by the abandoned one. There was nobody to help him. That's the one God said, I'm going to speak to. Get up. Come on. Jairus said, God, if you'll just speak the word. Just speak it, it would happen. I feel God standing over this congregation. Saying one word. Live. Live. Don't die. Don't be lost. Don't give up on God. Live. Come on, if God speaks it, don't you know He's going to back it up? Let the word of God be true. Every man a liar. God's in this house. Standing over the abandoned. I tell you, life will make you feel abandoned. You get 50 and you've seen funeral after funeral after funeral. Lost this one, lost that one, lost. You start feeling all alone. God's standing over this congregation saying, live. Come on, can you receive the word right now? Care what the enemy told you, I'm telling you, live. No matter what your friends told you, I'm telling you, the word of God says, live. Turn it into a prayer room right now.